Christian murderers gone. There were giant death factories keeping babies alive and selling their body parts. What more do you need to know about these people? I go out and face this scum. They literally crawl out from under rocks. They have green looking skin and they run around screaming, we love Satan, we wanna eat babies. I have them on video.
I love Satan, so
thank you.
I kill my kids.
Hillary's in the creepy weird sick stuff, man.
We came, we saw, he died.
She sleeps in the same room with that creepy weird woman whose mother wears a hood over her head. That woman number one is ugly. Imagine how bad she smells, man. I'm told her and Obama just stink. Obama and Hillary both smell like sulfur.
There's a guy on the radio who apparently Trump's on his show frequently. He said, me and Hillary are demons. Said we smell like sulfur. Ain't that something?
I have never seen or smelled any woman like that, ever.
People are telling me she smells.
Who could not notice someone who smelled that bad?
Spirit gets close to that evil and I feel it go. We're such self-centered crap. We don't even notice and it's self rising up against us. Millions of poignant people of the very worst type, and I'm so pissed. We're gonna steal your daughter at the mall. We love our Somalis, we love our Muslims. Oh, they're so good, oh, they're so sweet.
I was watching Fox News as I worked out this morning, and they had the police chief on making excuses from that town in Minnesota. And they had the Fox News host, this is the Fair and Balanced channel, going, Donald Trump really stepped in at this time. He said it was a bombing before it had officially been called a bombing, and Hillary's on him, and she's got some really good points. That's why we're just out here doing simple things, pointing out that we're meant to be in nature and be natural. And this is where we find the source that God made to transcend the new world order. And that's why they want to try to keep us out of it. Please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. The new Bulletproof t-shirt's out. We need the support. It's an amazing shirt. Support InfoWars. We support Trump. Get the new Bulletproof President Trump shirt at InfoWarsStore.
AlexJonesLive.com. It was declassified in 2025.
the CIA and the FBI, under Obama's command, launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of this operation. So take the link, alexjoneslive.com, and the link, alexjonesapp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know, and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are alexjoneslive.com and alexjonesapp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalists. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, the 5th of May, 2026. We got a big story, a big show for you today. Lots of big stories to cover, including some follow-up to our coverage yesterday of the California governor's race, as well as the ongoing semi-broken ceasefire. I don't know. It's like the headlines are like, the ceasefire's holding despite the exchange of fire. It's like, all right, well, maybe there's a new definition of ceasefire I'm not exactly aware of. We've got a lot of videos to show you, and we're going to spend a lot of time today talking about data centers. We will be talking a lot about data centers. We'll be joined by Kristen Megan in the second hour. She's been doing a lot of research as to the damaging effects and real purpose of data centers as it's become a national phenomenon, the process by which they want to build a data center. All of the people in the area don't want the data center. The data center gets built anyway, and those people have to pay for it. And it's pretty amazing to see the way that these things happen. And there's kind of a similarity, I think, between the fraud that we've seen out of things like the Somali community and the data centers, because there's certain things. If you want to do something whose ultimate end will be screwing over the American people, it's like the world is yours. The funds are infinite, the requirements are minimal, and just everything is paid for you, and your way is paved, and they're, you know, strewing flower petals before you for you to walk on. It's like amazing. You know, if I wanted to do something to make money or, you know, just for fun, whatever it is, I got to pay for it. It's got to come out of my pocket, or I got to find investors and convince them that there's profit to be had as long as the initial investment comes through. But when you're a data center, you don't really have to pay for anything. You can just get everybody else to pay for it. You can build your data center and then everybody else's electricity bill goes up and everybody else has to pay for the new desalination plant so you can get enough water for you to run your data center. And once again, the thing about data centers that to me is the most, you know, blatant part of it is they aren't even making an argument as to why we need them. They're just telling us that we have to suffer tremendously in order to have them, but they're not going to benefit us. There's no possible way they could. I really want to know, what is the benefit of data centers? Especially when we already have 10 times more data centers here in America than the rest of the world. Why are we doubling the amount of data centers that we have? Is the internet not fast enough? Is it too slow? Is your Netflix not playing smoothly? Like, what is the point? The point is to enslave you. The point is to handle the immense amount of data it requires to digitally model the world in order to predict future events, change the input to alter those future events. It takes a lot of computational power to enslave an entire nation digitally. So I guess there's your answer. And one thing I got to admit, since we started the Alex Jones Network, we did our first show on Friday, And it's been a little bit topsy-turvy, right? Still waiting to actually get a computer so I can actually do the proper news gathering that we're doing. We're just kind of scrambling, trying to figure out, okay, what needs to happen in between shows? How do we make that happen quickly? There's been a lot of sort of things we're having to deal with that's made the transition. I mean, the transition's been perfect. It's been smooth as heck. So many people have come along. We've got record high viewership. So, you know, the real danger of having to shift from one network to another is that the viewership might fall off or, you know, people just don't know where to find us. Thankfully, because you've shared the links, because you've told people where to go, because you've reposted our posts on X or wherever else, people know they found us. They keep tuning in. That's been awesome. And it's been incredible. And the crew, of course, has been very flexible on all of this, you know, just doing what is necessary to get us on air. And really, we never lost a minute of broadcast, right? It's been so incredibly smooth. But at the same time, it's felt a little off. It's felt a little bit off. And even just now, probably 15 minutes ago, I'm putting my tie on and looking in the mirror and I'm just like, God, what's going on? I'm just like tired. I'm just like low spirited. And I realize it suddenly hits me. It's because we're not at the studio and we left all the supplements there. I didn't bring my supplements along. And seriously, you just don't think about it. At the InfoWars office, there were just supplements everywhere. And you didn't even think about it. I'd just be taking the Next Level Energy, Papa Shilajit, Papa CMOS. And you just like don't think about it. It just becomes your habit. And then you stop doing it. Again, not consciously, not thinking about it. And after just like, you know, 4 days, 5 days without the supplements, I'm like, something's missing. Something is not, you know, it's like when you fill up with cheap gas instead of the good stuff, you're just like, why am I not accelerating quite as much as I think I should be? That's the answer. It struck me and I realized it. I was like, I'm missing the supplements. So I don't know what we have to do to get boxes of supplements spilling out all over the place around here, but that's obviously what we're missing. What I'm missing personally. And folks, like I said, the transition has been just like smooth as butter. I was expecting there to be some sort of downtime, some sort of complication. But man, this crew has put so much work in behind the scenes. And this is the thing, y'all. What we do in front of the camera is such a tiny sliver of what InfoWars is doing. And obviously, it's all in service of that tiny sliver, right? The point of all of this is to get this message out there, inform people about this. But in order to do that, the services that undergird this show and the Alex Jones show, I mean, it's unimaginable. And the crew just works like dogs continuously, and you don't see it. We don't really, well, we do talk about it quite a bit, but that's because you need to know, like, we're not just twiddling our thumbs when we're not on air. We got teams of people, and whether it's working to fend off the legal attacks that we're under or working to build the new studio so that by the time InfoWars goes down, Alex Jones Network can launch immediately. So much work goes into this, and it's all funded by you going to thealexjonesstore.com. So this is a fundraiser time right now. We need to be raising funds because we are launching into the next stage of our, you know, rocket trip. We've shed one booster, and now the new one's firing up, and we need you to fill our tank and give us the fuel to get to that next level. So please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. There is a mega sale going on right now. You're getting 40% off methylene blue tincture, methylene blue caps, Ultra DNA Revival, Shilajit caps and gummies, up to 35% off methylene red tincture, colostrum, and MK Ultra. And you're getting 30% off all apparel, shirts, hats, hoodies, and everything else. I don't know what discount the CMOS gummies are on, if any. But I was thinking about that yesterday because Alex and his guest, I guess it was Michael Yon, was talking about it with him, the Irish potato famine. And of course, how that was orchestrated and how that was really an imperial attack against the people of Ireland by the British. But I thought they missed a golden opportunity to plug CMOS, because CMOS was discovered during the Irish potato famine when the Irish people were starving because of the blight / the blight of imperialism. They were looking around desperate for food and they started eating the CMOS, something they typically wouldn't eat. And they realized, like, this stuff is incredible. And they actually discovered that this CMOS that happens to grow in the North Sea, right there off the Irish coast, is like the world's greatest superfood. It is packed with nutrients for some reason, just happens to be off the coast of Ireland. And it was that discovery that really helped a lot of Irish people survive the famine because they were able to get the incredible nutrients from the CMOS. So, again, you know, what we sell you at thealexjonesstore.com are just like these amazing naturally occurring vitamins, minerals, supplements, just sea moss and shilajit. It just is like God's gift to humanity. At some point, humanity discovers it, and we simply purify and bottle it for you and make it bioavailable so you're getting the most amount of the, you know, effective ingredients in there. So go to thealexjonesstore.com and get your shilajit, get your sea moss, get your colostrum plus. Same type of thing, right? Colostrum. It's just what, you know, mammals produce in the first 2 weeks. It's a superfood because of, you know, the way you need to build up baby's health really early on. But you can take advantage of that process, isolate it, purify it, and get it at thealexjonesstore.com. thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And with that, we'll get into the news today. There really is a lot to get into. And one of the most common stories that I see, and we really are in a sort of hellish Sisyphean Groundhog Day repeater cycle here. And I commented on it today, and it maybe wasn't my most thoughtful or equality promoting tweet, but it seems like every single day I wake up to like five or six of the same attacks, all against white people and Europeans. Every single day. Every single day, there's just this raft of stories. And, you know, the obvious and cliche way, I guess, to talk about it would be to reverse it, inverse it, and give you the opposite. Like, just imagine if you woke up every single day to see yet another video of yet another group of young white teenagers just viciously beating an old black man half to death. And then follow that up immediately with yet another story about yet another white judge letting off yet another white murderer for their 50th felony crime who goes on to murder somebody else. And then a story about a bunch of white people moving to India and bringing a bunch of Europeans in and scamming them and taking over portions of their country. And then stories about white people in other countries writing laws so that you can't criticize white people. And it's like, it'd be pretty obvious at that point what was happening, right? You've got one population on the march, expanding, growing, and the other population's under attack, only it's inverted. And all of these peoples are all unified in their attacks against white people. And it's just, it's exhausting at a certain point. And it's infuriating knowing how easy it would be to solve like all of these problems. The immigration problems in Europe, here's how you solve that. You don't let them in the first place. And once they're here, you arrest them and send them home. Like these, this is what I mean by there are no real problems. There are no actual issues that we're dealing with. They're all self-created. They're all manufactured on purpose as a part of a global and unified attack. Like it's not a coincidence that all these things are happening. And it'd be a little bit harder to get your hand on if like, it ever happened in the reverse, ever. But you'll never, ever, ever, ever see the reverse. And that's so bizarre. That's so weird. Like, again, I get, like, I understand the way that white people have been propagandized. But, like, it's everybody, really? It's every single person has absorbed this self-hatred that they've forced down your throat. It's, like, sickening. It really is. And we got to snap out of it because it's wrong what's happening. And if it was happening to anybody else, white people wouldn't for a single second hesitate to recognize and oppose it. But because there's been this endless indoctrination. And so like even I have the knee jerk sort of off-put reaction where I'm like, I'm talking about this again. I'm talking about white people again. And it's like, yeah, we're the ones under attack. The attack is ongoing. The genocide is not yet complete. So yeah, I got to keep talking about it. And I wish I didn't have to, but I wish white people would just stand up for themselves and not take this anymore. And when you really look at the world, especially over the last couple hundred years, I mean, you see this relentless attack against Europe. And it's this attack that sort of destroyed the world. it sort of has actually totally destroyed the world. And you know what? If the crew can grab, I tweeted it out today and I meant to grab it for the show. I actually really want to play it here. If y'all grab it, the 1913 video I did. I'm kind of embarrassed by it because I made it in 2018 and I'm doing my super deep reporter voice during it. And it's kind of cringy, but it's a great report. And I'm exactly right in what I say in it. So I retweeted that today. If the crew can grab my 1913 report, I want to go to that and talk about the year that the world went off the rails, the year before World War I. And it really was, in a lot of ways, the peak of humanity. I think maybe we had some, you know, we had a wind down, I guess you could say. But if you look at the world just before World War I, Europe was like heaven. It was like paradise, like the videos that you see from it. I mean, it's why people believe in Tartaria now. Tartaria has taken the actual occurrence of history and then like imbued it with like this weird mysticism and like lost history stuff. But at the end of the day, if you watch like a Tartaria person or one of these people that goes around and films like the city hall and is like, how did humans make this? It's crazy. Genuinely insane. I mean, I know, like, I've read stories about, you know, ancient Arabs walking around the ruins of, you know, Ashurbanipal or whatever. I think that was a person. Of Ur. And just being like, what is this? Who built this? And like, what, how did they do it? But like, these buildings were built by your grandfather, right? It's like people walking around going, how did they build this in 1920? It's like, I don't know, cranes and shit. Like, what? But the reality is that the story the Tartaria believers tell is the real story. It's just not hidden or secret. It's just like what actually happened. Like if you listen to a Tartarian flat earth type person, they'll be like, you know, the world was destroyed around the early 1900s and all of these like, you know, amazing technologies and civilizations were destroyed and now we're living in the remnants of a once. And it's like, yeah, no, that's actually what happened. No, the world was destroyed in World War I and World War II and we're living in a post-apocalyptic dystopia. Yeah, no, that's accurate. It really wasn't hidden. It happened right in front of everybody. Like when they're like, the old world was destroyed. It's like, yeah, I've seen the videos. It's World War I and World War II. Yes, the old world was destroyed. Absolutely. So I think this video is like 7 minutes, right? So we're just too long to play it here. So I'll have to play it at the beginning of the next segment. But we are living in a dystopian hell world. And it is completely insane. And so much of it is predicated on this racial aspect, which is why, again, it needs to be addressed. It needs to be confronted. It needs to be argued back against by people that genuinely don't hate anybody and would have this position regardless of my particular ethnicity, right? And I've tried to explain this a million times, and people still don't get it when I say this. Everybody should be against the destruction of white people. What the hell is wrong with you? Right? Like, well, I'm black. Okay, and if black people were being systematically genocided in their home countries, you don't think I'd be against that? Like, what? And, like, people don't even realize, like, how insulting that is or, like, how, I don't know, man. It's weird. It's very weird when people are like, oh, you're just against white people being destroyed because you're white. It's like, no, it's because they're people, actually. It's sort of confusing and off-putting because you just as a good person, you think everybody else is good. But like, it's not necessarily surprising and it's not required. Like, it's fine. If they want to be hateful racists, they can be. I don't require them to love white people. They can hate whoever they want. It's their soul they're putting in jeopardy. But they should be on our side. But they should definitely be on our side. And it's insulting that they're not. But I get the same. But then I get the reverse from white people being like, well, we don't need them. They're bad. White people should just stick to it. And it's like, I'm pointing out that like, I'm trying desperately to get across the idea to destroy the fabricated psyop that says that white people deserve to be killed. And if you disagree, you're a rabid white supremacist. It's like, no, you're just a good person. You're just a decent and normal person. If you don't want white people to be destroyed, everybody else is an evil scumbag. All right. Everybody good and decent wants everybody else to flourish and live their own lives and to define their own destiny, seek their own purpose. That should be universal. I understand that it's not. I have no question about whether that's universal or not. But it is the right way to be. And we should shame people for being genocidal maniacs. Personally, that's my fear. That's my position. I said fear because I read this, and this is what I'm talking about. Most parents fear daughters will grow up unsafe in public, survey says. This from Sky News. 4 in 5 parents fear their daughter growing up feeling unsafe in public in Britain, according to a survey. The research from Charity Plan International UK also reveals growing concern, including among women, that progress on gender equality is going backwards. What? Whatever could be the cause of that, I wonder. I mean, I shouldn't even laugh. I mean, it's so messed up. It's so disturbing that we've allowed our countries to be taken like this. And, you know, it's not like we didn't warn you. It's not like this wasn't always obvious. It's not like the contradiction of the feminists voting for the importation of God knows how many million radical misogynists, you know, hasn't been pointed out enough already, but they're still welcoming the refugees. So what are we going to say? 80% of parents worry their daughters will grow up feeling unsafe in public, with 40% believing this will happen at an earlier age than it did for them. Nearly two-thirds of women, 63%, say they feel unsafe in public, with over half experiencing unwanted physical or sexual harassment. 2 in 5 believe equality is going backwards, 41%. Despite the widespread concern, parents say they're struggling to have these conversations with their children about equality and safety. Why? What? About equality and safety? I'm kind of confused by this. What does that even mean? So more than 2 in 5, 42% have never spoken to their child about gender equality. What? Why are they talking about gender equality? What? I'm so confused. Like, this is what I'm talking about. Is everybody else insane? I really have to ask, is everybody else insane? What the hell are you talking about? This is a story about how women can't walk around Britain without being raped or assaulted. And they're like, you know, this is a real problem. Almost half of people have never talked to their children about gender equality. Eh? What? Yeah, I'll talk to my kids about gender equality. The genders aren't equal, kids. Daughters, you're weaker than my son. You're girls, so you're going to be targets. You're going to be victims. You're pretty white girls, so you're really going to be, you know, the target for a lot of people. That's how you talk about gender equality. You say it's a lie and you're a woman and those men despise you. And the ones in the headdresses, want to make you their slave. So stay the hell away from them. Is that what they mean? Do they say, are people struggling to talk about that? It's not hard. I showed you how to do it. Sit down with your kid. Hey, kid. Hey, you know when you go outside and you see those weird men leering at you? That's because the liberals are quislings and have sold out your birthright, and you're going to have to one day fight for it back. So we're going to learn how to use a gun now, son. Why don't you come sit over here, and I'll show you how to load a rifle. That's how you talk about equality when your safety's at risk. That's just crazy. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I have been very blessed and honored in 32 years on air and 28 years of InfoWars to have seen the whole world change. When I first got started, almost nobody knew about the globalists. People were literally in the dark. Look how far we've come. We are exposing them. Jeffrey Epstein, the pedophile rings, the poison COVID shots, the open borders, the global wars, the 5G, all of it is coming out. Humanity is rallying. This is the fourth turning. This is the great awakening. It is the answer to their great reset. I am so proud of humanity, and I'm so thankful to all the viewers and listeners who over the years have supported us by prayer, word of mouth, and financial support at TheAlexAndSword.com. So InfoWars has been shut down, but we've launched the Alex Jones Network. We plan to crank this sucker up. We got new studios, they're even bigger, being built. And we want to go 19 hours a day live by the end of 2026 from 5 a.m. until midnight. So if I build it, will you come? Yes, I know you will. So now more than ever, go to thealexjonesstore.com and get incredible supplements. Our methylene blue is the best. Our methylene red is proprietary. Our bovine colostrum, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel, incredible collectible knives, and so much more. You are literally financing the tip of the spear and the resistance that the tyrants and the globalists hate above everything else. InfoWars is a proven winner. They have a URL. They have an old studio. That means nothing. You are the InfoWar. And if you accept this mission, if you take action, if you spread the word, if you share our links, alexjoneslive.com, the news site, the live feeds, the articles, the videos, it's incredible. If you share the feed with everybody you know at alexjonesapp.com, the free Droid or Apple download of the app, it is insane. All the power lies with you. That's why callers call in and thank me. I say, thank me. I would fight this no matter what. I'd fight it in a ditch. I'd fight if I was homeless. We're all in this together. You have all the power, but you have to use the power now. Share the feeds to alexjoneslive.com. Share the URL, alexjonesapp.com. And go to thealexjonesstore.com with the widest selection of Patriot apparel to wear your uniform of liberty openly and proudly. It's such an adventure to wear this apparel and to get the incredible supplements that will empower your life so you'll know how real this is. I only sell stuff that really works, so I want you to get it and take it and love it and have a great response. We have a 90+% reorder rate. So many of you are on the fence. Take action now. Step into a wider world. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and support this broadcast. But regardless, take the feed, take the live links at alexjoneslive.com/show and on Rumble and Relox Shows on X, the Alex Jones Show on Rumble, and share those links, and it changes the world. You are unstoppable when you decide to get up at the plate and take action. This is real. This isn't hype. You've seen the results. Now the ball's in your court. AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action. You are the reincarnation of Paul Revere. You are unstoppable. The globalists are in deep crap. Take action now at AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. And I want to be clear. I don't own the AlexJonesStore.com. Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Network, does. We've got a major deal with Rumble to push our information. It's already top on Rumble, but to supercharge it. The most important coordinate in this fight is rumble.com/Alex Jones Live. rumble.com/Alex Jones Live. We are already at the top of Rumble, but we're going to go even further partnering with them. This is the coordinates of liberty. Take action right now at rumble.com/Alex Jones Live, and we are unstoppable. The power of humanity is unstoppable if you simply unleash it now.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is War Room Live on AlexJonesLive.com, the Alex Jones Network. Make sure you're following us at AJN Live. I'm at Harrison H. Smith, at Real Alex Jones. Glad you're here with us. We're going to be joined in the next hour by Kristen Megan, and we're going to talk to her about data centers. Got like 15 videos about data centers, but they all sort of take the same path, where basically they want to build the data centers. The people don't want the data centers. The data centers get built anyway. But I actually want to start this segment off with that 1913 video, which again, I'm a little bit embarrassed by, but it's got good information. It's just my voice. I think I was trying too hard. But whatever. It's a great video. I have to admit, I nailed it. But this was back in, I think 2018 was when I first made this video. So I feel like I was a little bit ahead of the curve. I don't know. Nowadays, you see a lot of people recognizing everything that happened in 1913. But this is something I pieced together myself, all right? This was something that nobody told me. It was actually because I saw a documentary called 1913, the seeds of conflict about the establishment of Israel and how the Second Aliyah in 1913 was the first big move of Zionists to the region that sort of started the snowball effect that ended up where we are today. And it was just being like, man, 1913, a lot of stuff happened that year, and just making a list myself and going, oh my God, the list just keeps going. It really was this transformative year that up until recently never got a lot of attention. So here's a video I made about 8 years ago about 1913, of the year everything went wrong. Let's watch.
Human destiny is like a bullet fired at a distant target. We aim the gun at our aspirations, our purpose. But as our willpower falters, our hands shake and the gun barrel shifts. And while the barrel of the gun may only move an inch, the effect is magnified with every foot the bullet travels, so that by the time it strikes the backstop, that tiny shift has cast the bullet far wide of its mark. America, it seems, is off target. America's collapse into stupefied tyrannical corporatism was not a sudden one. It's been a gradual slide into depravity and socialism. It's the cascading effect of innumerable events through history. But we have to ask ourselves, where exactly did we go wrong? When in our history did America lose the plot? You could argue it was the 60s with the radical reaction to government oppression and senseless war, the hijacking of civil rights by extremist groups, or even earlier with the world wars that industrialized the economy and positioned us as policemen of the world, or even earlier to the nation-wrenching vicissitudes of the Civil War. But one year stands above all others as being the genesis of our current quagmire. In this 1 year alone did so many instruments of oppression and institutions of control come into being. This wasn't just the year that the rifle of destiny strayed from the bullseye. This was the year that the men holding the rifle decided to aim at a different target entirely. The year was 1913. 1913 was, in many ways, the high watermark of Western civilization, the peak of advancement before the Great War the following year ushered in a century of conflict and decline. For America in particular, 1913 was a year of unparalleled accomplishment. New York's Grand Central Station opened as the world's largest train station. The Woolworth Building pierced the clouds as the tallest tower in the world. The Lincoln Highway became the first automobile road to stretch across the United States. And President Woodrow Wilson triggered the explosion of the Gamboa Dam, completing the construction of the Panama Canal. But just as these profound achievements heralded a new and glorious age, the seeds of destruction and bondage were being sown in the shadows of American cities. The Revenue Act, introduced by Senator Aldrich of Rhode Island, was signed into law by President Wilson, creating the first federal income tax in the United States. Originally meant to be just a 1% tax on only the richest Americans, this bill laid the groundwork for the perpetual and significant tax burden under which all Americans struggle to this day, and it did so by drastically lowering tariffs, easing the barrier of entry for foreign goods to American markets. This would not, however, be the most significant contribution that Senator Aldrich would make in 1913 to the eventual enslavement of the American people to the whims of the banking elite. This would come in the form of the Aldrich Plan, better known as the Federal Reserve Act. This was the fulfillment of a plan set down some 3 years before by a cabal of bankers on the now infamous Jekyll Island, a subversion of the constitutional right of the American government to control its own money supply, surrendering ultimate control of the economic system to an unaccountable, unelected consortium of self-interested bankers. With 1913 being the genesis of both federal income taxes and the Federal Reserve, my argument could be complete. But unfortunately, this is hardly the end of the evidence. That year, the 17th Amendment passed. This amendment is the reason that senators are elected by the entire population of a state. Prior to the change, senators were appointed by the legislature of each state, the intention being that U.S. senators would be responsible to their own state rather than national interests. The effect of this change can be most readily seen in the most recent senatorial elections, in which a small group of donors in California and New York spent millions of dollars attempting to sway the electorate of far-flung states such as Texas. This control could hardly be managed if those who wished to manipulate elections had to contend with the hundreds of local races that make up each state government. The 17th Amendment moved us significantly more towards a democratic mob rule and away from the Republican system of diffused power upon which the country had been founded. As damaging as these changes have been, government was not the only sphere to see new forms of societal control. 1913 was also the year in which two incredibly powerful globalist organizations began operation. The first is the Rockefeller Foundation, whose anti-human agenda needs no recitation to the InfoWars audience, and whose influence over the corporate, academic, and governmental structures of the world is second to none, whose purpose was the virtual enslavement of every human being to a system of servitude beneath the enlightened controllers of industry. The second organization is the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, founded in 1913 to protect the reputation of Leo Frank after he was tried and convicted for the rape and murder of Mary Fagan. Since then, the organization has used the cloak of tolerance and religious freedom to tirelessly work against the free speech principles of the United States. It's a model adopted by such organizations as the SPLC, who, along with the ADL, now work in tandem with big tech companies to silence and vilify anyone who fights against the tenets of imperialistic globalism. Income taxes, the Federal Reserve, the Rockefeller Foundation, the ADL, and the 17th Amendment, all of these have been powerful instruments in eroding our freedoms in the intervening century, and all had their creation in 1913. To figure out why this took place, we must look at another significant advancement, this one in the realm of industrial technology. 1913 was the year Henry Ford introduced the assembly line and changed industry forever. While it may have been more efficient and advanced than earlier fabrication techniques, the assembly line represents a drastic shift in the role of American workers. They were no longer artisans or craftsmen. They were transformed into nothing more than cogs in a huge industrial machine. This represents the transformation of humankind in the eyes of the controllers of society and economy. 1913 was at the tail end of an incredible period of technological and scientific advancement in which electricity, combustion motors, and psychological theory radically altered our perception of the world and our place in it. To the average person, these accomplishments represented a new epoch of humanity in which our wildest dreams could be achieved and technology would bring comfort and strength to every man and woman. To those in power, however, they represented something very different. They represented a potential threat to the monopolistic hoarding of power and riches. But even more so, they represented those very levers that could be used to oppress the people and guarantee that that monopoly they held would remain firmly in their grasp. The banking establishment saw a vision of the future in which humanity itself served as an endless assembly line, drained of individuality, sapped of economic independence, and relegated to the servile role of ants in the great colony of borderless nations. The men who held the levers of power were armed with the rifle of destiny, and instead of aiming at freedom or the advancement of all men, they aimed at their control, they aimed at their subjugation. All they had to do was establish the institutions and programs that would slowly but surely enslave us all. And in 1913, that's exactly what they did.
All right, so there you go. 1913, the year it all went wrong. You can find and share that on my X at Harrison H. Smith. I think I made a pretty good case for it, personally. And so you look at the world in 1913. And you see the things that they implemented there and the way that they've spawned off and, you know, increased. I mean, those things never went away. Obviously, some of them were supposed to be temporary, like the IRS and income tax. Never turns out that way, huh? Once they get their teeth in you, it's hard to shake them loose. And so now we end up in the world we're in today, which is a dystopian hell world that's being completely and totally destroyed. And again, you can put this off. You can ignore this until you can't anymore, right? You can ignore the rising crime until it's your family member being murdered. You can ignore the homeless people until they're spitting on you, right? You can ignore this stuff for so long, and then it becomes impossible to ignore. And as you look around the world today, is there any doubt? Is there any question as to which direction humanity's going? I don't think we've developed at all. Since 1913, I would hit the go back button, you know, faster than you could say it. Because now here we are in the year of our Lord, 2026, 113 years after the peak of Western civilization. And we're just descending right back to barbarism and chaos and misery and the absolute destruction of civilization itself. And you have I have so many stories today just about random everyday crime. And it's like, this is not normal. There's no reason we have to put up with this. Half of the people committing crimes in this country aren't even supposed to be here in the first place. And we're sort of running out of time to deal with this. Because soon, you know, we're going to be outnumbered. I almost thought about bringing in the speech, that famous speech by Nayib Bukele. In fact, I'm going to reach out. Matt Baker has been helping me out translate some clips. I'm going to translate Bukele's speech because every time I've played it before, I've just read the subtitles. But like, it's one of the most powerful speeches ever. And the point of it is the point I always make about liberty, about freedom, about righteousness, and just everything good in the world. You have to fight for it. And Nayib Bukele, as he's giving this presentation to these police forces that are arrayed like an army, because that's what they are. They were going to war with the criminals there in El Salvador. And he's giving them a speech and he's saying, you know, you're on a mission from God here. You're on a mission from God because those people have no morals. They have no compunction with murdering children or anything else. And we have to be as ruthless as them in the pursuit of good. See, you're never free if you're under threat. The people in Britain who are afraid to let their daughters go outside, they're not free. Who can't, you know, let their children walk around or even adult women walk around on their own. Yeah, you're not free because freedom requires peace. It requires safety. Safety requires peace. Peace requires order. And order requires good men using violence against bad men. It's something I think we've almost forgotten. It's like we think that it's these systems that bring about order. The systems are like a backstop. They shouldn't have to exist in the first place. But of course, our systems are dysfunctional would be a inadequate way to put it. But it is fixable. And that's the thing about all of this is that all of these problems are imminently solvable. And we've seen it done. That's why I bring up Nayib Bukele. We can go to a video here of, I thought I had it highlighted. It's, I'm blanking on the guy's name. Ari Shaffir, clip 44. This is Ari Shaffir. He came back from, he's a stand-up comedian who has some great ideas about political change. He knows what he's talking about when it comes to what it takes to achieve political change. He's very much on the money. Here's him talking about El Salvador, clip 44. He came back from El Salvador, and here he is talking about what it was like being in this totalitarian, authoritarian concentration camp of a country, according to mainstream media. Here's Ari Shaffir.
So it's that. So El Salvador, whatever media told me, like, this guy's a totalitarian.
Used to be the highest murder rate in South America or the Americas in general. And now he cleaned it up and it's the safest country.
Gangs are done.
Done.
Yeah.
So
he
said,
he didn't even go, I'm giving you a week to clean up. He goes, I'm coming for you now.
Now.
Arrested or killed. Every one of them. Oh, and I had this thing in my head that I kind of, they were like, if you have tattoos, I'll take away your civil rights and maybe put you in jail for tattoos. And you get there like, no. It's specific tattoos.
Yeah.
It is, here's a loved one I've ripped.
Oof.
Yes. Street cred for raping a sister or something like that. Here's the badge number of a cop I killed.
Oh.
Those are the tattoos. And so they might go, let me see your arm. Let me see your tattoos. And then they go, that's fine, go. It's not, they're not just arresting random people.
And the people there seem to be supportive?
Beyond. They had no country.
Wow.
I took a tour in Santa Marta and it was this guy, he was cool. He goes, he was like, okay, I'll show you the church, whatever. And he goes, hey, if you guys want now, it's up to you. I can show you the sites, or you can ask me real questions. And we go to a coffee shop, no one's listening.
I love
can
answer fire. Real questions. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so what happened?
So my first question was like, hey, how come from the Guatemala to here border, so indigenous, all the, and then as soon as you get over the border, it's not even, none. I go, oh, look it up. In like the 40s or 70s, there was a bounty on their heads and they murdered all of them.
In El Salvador, they murdered all the indigenous population.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So the rest went into hiding and now there just is no.
70s is wild.
Yeah, it was late. Damn.
Like the 1970s?
Yeah, 1970s or 40s, I don't remember, but it was pretty recent. And so I was like, good answer. But then he's like,
I
thought it was something else.
A truthful answer.
It was something else.
I don't think he meant solution. Oh. That was a good answer to the question, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this guy had left. this guy had left. Shout out Jorge. Jorge's walking tours. But he goes, look around.
Yeah.
He left and came back. He goes, every one of my friends, when I left at 12, is dead or in prison. I don't have any left that are not dead or in prison. He goes, look around. There is not a single man between 20 and 40 here.
Whoa.
They lost their country to gangs. It wasn't like crime is tough. It's on another level that we don't really understand.
So it needed an extreme response, or at least that's how they would justify it.
Yes.
Did you ask?
So
yeah.
Everyone I met, like, this guy's a hero.
Of course.
Guy? He's the best. I was there for their July 4th.
Oh, wow.
And like, we couldn't do this. People taking their young daughters. Like, I couldn't have done this 4 years ago. I'm showing her the Capitol for the first time. And then they were like, where are you from? Like, New York. I'm like, is that America? And I'm like, yeah. They're like, what's it like there? They were so interested. Everywhere else, like, gringos go home. There, they're like, tell people. It's safe. Come.
Wow.
They were so open and fresh and new. It was really interesting.
We can take it down.
Did he say anything critical? Did you ask?
Like, everybody loves him. Everybody's happy. You know who's not happy? The tattooed criminals sitting like bugs in their cage. Whoops. Okay. All right. You know, it's up to you. Who should we make suffer? The relentless criminality? Should we make the criminals suffer? Should we put them in cages? Or should we make every single body else suffer? It's not that hard of a question. The El Salvador playbook is the playbook we should be following. It's clearly an effective one. And we don't have to wait until we get to that point. I don't know why we do this, but like, we don't have to get to that point, y'all. We can just stop it right now. We can do what Nayib Bukele's doing or did already. We could do it right now. And we could deal with a lot of these problems that we're currently facing that are going totally and absolutely unaddressed. We can go to clip 49 here. Just the latest in like an endless cascade of these stories. Forever. Why are we doing this? What is the point of our justice system if we let people go 40 or 50 times in a row? At a certain point, we need to just turn them into slaves or something. I don't know. I don't know what we do at a certain point, but at a certain point, we have to stop spending all of our tax money just routinely slapping them on the wrist and make them return some of what they've stolen from society by breaking rocks on a chain gang or something. Like, at a certain point, we got to end this. Let's go to clip 49 now. We're having an issue with clip 49. I understand we're having a problem with clip 49. What it's going to be, once we get the kinks worked out here, so residents of Raleigh, North Carolina, in complete panic after a man who's been arrested on a mind-boggling 40 previous times with 125-plus charges. And he's just been arrested again for a robbery with a weapon. This is what I mean. The justice system is now in contradiction to its purpose. And I have the feeling the good people of North Carolina wouldn't let this guy get away with this 40 times. I think if it was up to the people that he robbed, they probably could have dealt with it in about 4 minutes and then gone about their day. But instead, we have this absolutely retarded system where we give him a lawyer and we give the police a lawyer and they argue and then we get the juries and we spend, you know, $50,000 just to let the guy go again and then do it all again a month later. I mean, 40 times, the man's been arrested 40 times. He's not that old, so it's, you know, at least twice a year for 20 years. He's probably only been a criminal for about 10 years, so, you know, every 3 months he's getting arrested. Every 3 months. The entire justice system of North Carolina has to provide this guy with a trial just to let him go again. Let's watch.
Pulled out the rebar, swung it at him. My husband stepped back, popped him. He fell down. So Bryce fell down. He kicked my husband in the back of the thigh and then got up and took off.
Sheena Timer Wiggins and others say they have filed police reports and want justice served, as well as help for Bryce Foreman before he hurts anyone else or gets hurt himself on Glenwood South.
And what are the police telling you and your husband after your husband was accosted?
The biggest thing was just that they know about this person. that they would be looking out.
Foreman has 38 mugshots on record. He's been taken into custody or cited for felonies and misdemeanors over 16 years for communicating threats, breaking into cars, theft, disorderly conduct, intoxication and disruption, trespassing, begging for money, and assault.
I've seen him. He's yelled at me personally. I've been walking my dog and he'll start shouting at me from across the road and kind of running towards you and acting really odd. So, yeah, it's a little concerning.
Court records show Foreman's most recent arrest on March 11th involved carrying a concealed weapon. He's also accused of knocking customers' items off tables and challenging people to fight here on a couple restaurants' patios and decks this past Friday. Many witnesses say they don't understand.
All right, so we can take it down. So again, just, 16 years, 40 trials, 125 charges, and they just let him go to do it again. It's more common than you'd think. Let's go to clip 28 here. Brandon Morello posted this. An illegal alien convicted sex offender walked into an elementary school and had his pick of the litter. Let's watch.
Inside Orangewood Elementary, in the middle of a school day, a man with a documented history as a convicted sex offender walked onto campus and sexually assaulted a 10-year-old girl. According to this newly filed 13-page notice of claim, 25-year-old Abel Blah wasn't a stranger to the system. His convictions and probation violations should have triggered action long before he made it anywhere near a child. This notice details how he managed to bypass security measures at the school, entering through the front office, making his way inside while classes were still actively in session. It's unclear what time or how he got past front office staff, but the notice of claim alleges the first account of him in the hallway was 11:40 a.m. Then a 10-year-old girl on her way to the school nurse saw Blah. At 11:46, Blah allegedly redirected her to an empty, unlocked music room. Around 11:50, the girl fought him off and escaped. Then from 11:50 to 11:55, Blah leaves the classroom and school on foot. Police later arrested him at his home.
So, I mean, it's the incremental introduction of this stuff. I mean, this happening just one time in like the 1950s, it would have been, a national scandal. There would have been new laws written. Seems like it's just an everyday thing now. An illegal aliens wandering in off the street, just running around trying to grab your daughter. Crazy world, huh? What a crazy place we live in. You know what we need is facial scanning cameras on every corner. I think that'll fix it. I think what'll really fix it is if we force everybody to provide their government ID to get on Facebook. I think if we really want to deal with crime, we need a giant data centers with AI surveilling us 24/7 and cars that turn off if we disobey the government. I think that'll probably solve the crime that we're dealing with. I mean, obviously, we don't need to, expel illegal immigrants or just punish criminals. We need massive intrusion from technological surveillance on everybody everywhere. Which we already have, and we don't use that to stop any of the crime. So I'm going to have to rethink this strategy. We'll be right back.
Huge new mega sale, and it's a fundraiser for the new network. We need your support. Plus, the products are incredible. Up to 40% off on methylene blue tincture and methylene blue caps. We have the best. You're insane if you don't take it. Ultra DNA Revival that has all of the super nutrients in it that supercharge your whole body, like NAD, you name it. Up to 35% off methylene red tincture, the bovine colostrum, the MK Ultra brain booster, 30% off all apparel. There's not much market for the apparel. So that is a huge deal. Shirts, hats, hoodies, with the widest selection, the alexjonesstore.com. I need your support. Ultramethylene Blue Gummies, the first run, they're super strong. It's even stronger than, it's the same company, but the way they make it, it's really concentrated when it goes into the gummy. 58% off, that's about to end. And it goes on and on and on. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And finally, the sister site of TheAlexJonesStore.com, RealAlexJones.com. They just hold back. It's a sister site because we kept it separate from InfoWars. That was the site that went to just build the fledgling Alex Jones Network. And so they always hold back 10% of inventory, where it's coins or knives or collectible, limited edition T-shirts or Faraday bags. They hold it back. So there's only a few hundred left of the five different designs, limited edition, laser engraved, World War II, but updated modern, skull crusher, brass knuckles, 10-inch, double-edged, stainless steel, razor sharp. Your last chance to get those at an incredibly low price, only $79. These knives are like 100 something bucks in stores. TheAlexJonesStore.com doesn't have them, only RealAlexJones.com. And there's other deals that are only at RealAlexJones.com, so be sure and take advantage of that and check it out. If something's sold out, The Alex Jones Store, check out RealAlexJones.com. Hour number two, straight ahead. Share the live feeds now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.